Hey everybody.
Good evening. Just in the
We just walked through the door and got lights turned on, computers plugged in, and it seems like everything is like that these days. Breathless, just Hello, cat. I'm just trying to clean off the desk and gather myself. And while I do that, Connie, I think, is wanting to pray.
Yes, I want to pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for this opportunity to get centered and know the truth, experience the truth, feel the truth, share the truth, and find joy there. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. What a lovely prayer. Thank you, Connie. How about a blanket?
No, I'm good.
No? Okay. All right. So, sew buttons. Okay. Sew buttons. Cheryl says, I think in response to me going, so. So, buttons. Welcome to Growing with NTI. We are, according to my post-it note, we are at NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Does that
That's
sound
what
right?
I've got.
Okay. It must be a saying. So, buttons, Cheryl said, and Cindy says, on ice cream.
Maybe you're supposed to keep that going or something.
Is that like well, is that like pulling hen's teeth? Tom said he had never heard that. You know, when you say something's really difficult, it's as, oh, and Regina said she hadn't heard it. It's as difficult as pulling hen's teeth. Seems like that would be a similar, yeah, similar phrase. It's as difficult as sewing buttons on ice cream. Yeah, same idea, Cindy says. Okay. So, heaven is within you. This is a statement that you may take as truth. This statement is truth because of who you are in truth. You seem to be a man or a woman, an individual soul within a body, within a world, within a cosmos. This seems to be who you are. But this is not a fact. This is perception. It seems that you are within and everything else is without. This seems to be, but this is not truth. So I ask you to start with you, which you know is within, and discover that the world and heaven are within you also. We've been talking about this. In fact, when I interviewed this month's Satsang guest, which we'll hear this coming Sunday, I told her that we'd been talking about that, and it seemed to me that this idea of being separate as opposed to being consciousness, that we had been talking about it in terms of you are not in the world. The world is in you. Right? And this seems to be saying the same thing. And in fact, it backs us up and goes, well, okay, maybe you can't get the whole world thing, but let's start what you can get. And you can get that. So I ask you to start with you, which you know is within, and discover that the world and heaven are within you also.
And the you being the one mind.
The you being the one mind, right? Not the character.
Right.
Yeah. This seems to be a bold statement, but it is not. It is only a simple statement of fact, which you shall see as you come with me to seek within. Let's start with you, which you know is within, and let's ask this question. What are you? Do not be tempted to define yourself by what seems without. Let's stay focused within. If you forget the world and everything that you perceive as not within, and then you look deeply within and ask the question I have asked, what answer comes immediately to your mind? So let's ask it again. Forget the world and everything without and answer the question, what are you? Got an answer?
I guess consciousness.
Yeah.
Except I flipped the page and I already know the answer.
Oh, you did? Okay, so if you flip the page like Connie did, then you're cheating. You're running ahead. So let's, I don't know what it says on that page. Cause I'm a good student. I didn't flip the page for the answer. What are you? Yeah. And I would just say awareness. I'm that which, you know, knows even to ask the question. Cat's chewing on the computer cord. So, I am my thoughts. Okay, that's interesting. That's what the next page says.
But they didn't say that's the answer.
This may be your answer. That may be your answer, is it not? Well, you know, of course, as we know, Regina was scribing this, and that's the first thing that came to Regina's mind, apparently. That may be your answer, is it not? When you look within, where you know you are, and you ask the question, what am I? You find that you are your thoughts. What are your thoughts? Where do they come from? If you are your thoughts, and you want to know the origin of you, don't you also need to know the origin of your thoughts? So, let's look within deeply and peacefully and without a sense of hurry. Let's ask, what are my thoughts? What is their origin? Don't look ahead, Connie. What are my thoughts? What is their origin? I don't know. I don't know. I know what my distractions are, and there are plenty. Yeah, and again, I think it's just got to be that sense of knowing. I mean, the capacity to think, right? I mean, that awareness that, you know, I have to be life, right? The thing that, I mean, if I weren't life, if I weren't existence, I couldn't even ask the question, what am I or what are my thoughts?
Yeah, I think you're on the right track.
Well, let's see. It's not what Regina said, because apparently she said, the answer you may hear is, my mind is their origin. But then ask, what is my mind? The answer to that is God, for only God can be mind, which is the origin of thoughts, with thoughts being the maker or definer of you. As we look at this, what do we see? You are an aspect of thought within the mind of God.
Okay, there you go. There's a definitive statement.
Thank God we're off the hot seat. It started preaching to us again instead of asking questions. But, you know, A Course in Miracles, you know, uses that phrase. You are a thought in the mind of God. This says, you are an aspect of thought within the mind of God. And all of this, we found, is known and realized within the mind that is you. You are in God, and God is within you. There is no separation. The kingdom of God is within you. You are who you are, just as I am who I am. There is no difference. We are within the mind, so that our truth is within the mind. Where our truth is, reality must be also. It's kind of it's interesting because I didn't get that in front of me before we got going today, but today's thought of awakening says something about resting within the stillness, the field of unity, and then noticing that you are that field of unity. And when I journaled about it earlier, it came up as the idea of source, you know, so it's all the same idea. Recognize that you are, you know, it's recognized that,
well,
you are.
Been through this little, you've already been through this little questionnaire, haven't you?
Today, in my journal, right? But you are that which you seek, right? You are, you know, it's like they always talk about the fish looking for water, yeah. Right? You are what you seek. You are who you are, just as I am who I am. There is no difference. We are within the mind, so that our truth is within the mind. Where our truth is, reality must be also. Okay, we're on page 325, NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You are not defined by the world. You are defined by the voice within, which is where you are. This is why I ask you not to look at the world. You seem to be in a world, but if you are in the mind, the world can be nothing to you. I mean, again, it's like it's recognition that you are the source, and then all of this is just a projection of the mind. You know, manifestation is created out of the source that we are. Right? Regina talks about the third principle of God being that creative principle of. You keep looking at me with a quizzical look.
No, I mean, you and I had this conversation, I think, was it last night? We're talking about the world being an illusion, so I'm just. I'm listing rather than spouting off like I know something.
Yeah, do you want to talk about that conversation a little bit?
Well, we were somewhere and just talking about how if the world was real, and all the pain and suffering were real, how awful that would be. And you seem to have a little bit different take on that than I did, so maybe you should tell them.
Well, and what was said was Connie was talking about how happy she was to discover that at some point years ago, that all of this was an illusion, and that she was making it up in her mind. And so we tweaked that understanding a little bit, in that it's not like it's all made up by the character Connie's mind, the character's mind, this separate individual's mind. You know, and my point, which you know Connie didn't find particularly helpful, was that there is suffering occurring in the world. There are people who feel suffering the same way that she or I would feel suffering if a loved one doesn't call, or you know, our girlfriend's mad at us, or you know, or we break our leg, or you know, we experience this suffering, and that and that there are people out there who are locked up in prison, and that's where we started the conversation. We're talking about this woman I almost sent to jail when I sat on the bench yesterday. So there are people who seem to be suffering. So what we do is to relieve our suffering, and to what we do to alleviate the suffering in the world is to no longer believe wholeheartedly in the illusion, and that helps others, seeming others, but there's only one mind, right? So that helps seeming others to awake from their own suffering. So Connie had said that her understanding of that had been that when Connie wakes up, the whole world disappears, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is no more suffering. And I
like
said,
the
well,
end of the Nines.
Right, at the end of the movie, The Nines, when he, although those people were still there, by the way, the
they
end
were.
Of the movie. Yeah, yeah. The world seems
well,
to roll
and
up.
And the world seems to roll on after Jesus, too.
Right, and that's what we talked about. It's like, well, you know, yeah, right, the world didn't just like pop out of existence when Jesus had his awakening. Ultimately, you know, it's that whole microcosm macrocosm thing with the perceptual loop or the experiential loop, as Regina calls it. I think what I think I see, what I see I experience I think, that loop. It's also the same thing that we've been talking about with choosing a higher vibrational level, right? The code. It's a multi-layered code. So you can experience this world at this low vibrational level and just suffer through all of it. Or you can choose a higher vibrational thought and change your perception of your experience in the world. Eventually, enough choices, enough higher vibrational choices will lead you to a full awakening where you go, oh, where you really get that it's just like a play being put on. But it's not like the play is put on by Connie's mind or the play is put on by Jacqueline's mind. It's a play put on by consciousness as one. It's a play that's being played out and experienced within consciousness. And because consciousness truly cannot suffer, because, you know, how do you make air suffer? You know, you can't, right? And I'm just using that as an example, right? But I can't scratch the air. I can't hurt the air's feelings. And, you know, consciousness is more of that energy type, right, space type thing than only human beings suffer, right? And human beings aren't real. But we are consciousness as one is experiencing itself through these several points of experience. And so suffering, the opposite of the truth of what is experienced by consciousness. But it's just an experience. There's no... you know, you can't destroy consciousness. You can't destroy energy, right?
There's no real effect on consciousness.
There's no real effect on consciousness. But But people seem to experience suffering in this play that we've created.
Right.
And my awakening won't necessarily prevent Connie from suffering, or, you know, the neighbor from suffering, or Tom from suffering.
It's just another light in the world that lightens it up.
That lightens it up, yeah. Yeah, it's an unbelieving, it's a denial of the denial of truth. And I do my denial right here. I deny my belief that I'm a separate, the 100th monkey. Yeah, Cindy talks about the 100th monkey. Yeah, so that there's a, what do they call that point? I can't think of the name. What they call that point, Cindy? You know, there's an equilibrium shift. You know, like you build enough monkeys, and then that 100th monkey tips the scales, and everybody goes,
yeah,
oh,
yeah. It's
yeah.
David Hawkins talking about what we got past because of consciousness of the world increased to such a point that we got past his scale of consciousness, where there was on the, you know, where there's hopelessness and then there's hope and there's pride and about the time the Berlin Wall came down, the whole world had shifted to a higher level of consciousness, was and you can see its effects seemingly in the world.
Right. Right. Yeah, Cindy says exactly, Connie. Yeah, so,
yeah, it just makes me think about the course talking about, it says in there, if pain is real, then God is not.
Right. Right, but I mean, I guarantee you, if you ask those people in those row houses out there whether they experience suffering, they're going to say, absolutely, I experience suffering. And it's not like they're stick figures in Jacqueline's mind or Connie's mind. Like, you know, I can undream them. I can see the suffering and realize that it's a creation that does not represent the truth of who they are and the truth of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
That realization will not only help wake me up, but help wake them up and tip these scales, like Cindy's talking about, and tip the scales, that, like you were talking about, with the Berlin Wall, right? This, and shift consciousness, because there's only one mind. It's got to be the dawning of the light in one mind, right? That makes sense.
Right.
It's the way NTI talks about the waking up of all of consciousness, the dawning of the light
right,
in one
so
mind.
Right, so it's all perceptual, the suffering or not, because we can have the same experience and not suffer. But we all, or most of us, seem to have a perceptual experience with suffering involved.
Right. Right, so let's look at and NTI again said that with that last last chapter, it talks about the fact that when you look in, you realize that you are within, that you are within the mind of God. And it's exactly what we were talking about. It's the fact that, you know, and this is the tricky part, right? This is where I went, oh my God, with that sad song a couple of months ago. It's like the you that this is talking about is not the you that you have associated with you for 60 however many years, right? I mean, You know, it's not the world is within the mind of Jacqueline. The world is within the mind. The world would have to, you know, it's the Play-Doh thing. The world is can only be, if all there is Play-Doh, then the neighbors are made of Play-Doh, the cars are made of Play-Doh, the neighbors who are torturing other, you know, who are torturing little children are made of Play-Doh. It's all source. It's all consciousness. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's that paradigm shift. It's where do you start from? If you start from, I am an individual within the world, where you're already off track, right? Because the world is within the mind that you are.
That you're a part of.
That, well, and we could say it that you're a part of, even though that's a little wonky, because that's still from a, that's still that idea of oneness as everybody standing really close together within some kind of big blob, right, or some room, right?
So when this says you are in God and God is within you, you're saying that you is not...
It's not Connie.
It's not Connie.
Right.
It is you, the, all of mankind, or all of mind.
Yes, all of source. You know, as we know, you could just say the word one and close the book, or you close the book, because there's no more, you know, because any further division of it is a separation.
Yeah, so this word says we are within the mind so that our truth is within the mind. Our truth being the one whole mind.
The one whole mind. Right.
I think this, we're going to actually, we probably ought to just read this because it's going to get to it. I'm seeing this later in the...
Okay, so now we're going to read this, as Connie suggested.
Okay.
All right. You are not defined by the world. You are defined by the voice within, which is where you are. This is why I ask you not to look at the world. You seem to be in a world, but if you are in the mind, the world can be nothing to you. It cannot affect you if you remember where you truly are. You are protected from it by the nature of your being. You are protected from it by the nature of your being, for your truth is beyond the world and beyond the images that seem to be the world. Your truth is eternal, as is the truth of all thoughts within the mind of God. For what is thought in God's mind is God, just as your true thoughts are the truth of what you are. And this paragraph says exactly what the Course in Miracles says. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. But you got to realize that the unreal that's being talked about includes the characters of Connie and Jacqueline and Tom and Kathy and Dove and Debbie and
Cindy.
And Lynn and Megan, Cheryl, Carmen, right? Those are the untruths. You know, the idea that mind can be splintered into separate individual characters, that ought to sound like the tiny mad idea, because that's what it is. It's a mad idea. Other teachers talk about it as, hey, consciousness saying, hey, let's do this for fun. Right? Let's see what this would be like if we weren't we. If it weren't one boundless field. Let's just, you know, let's do this for fun for a minute.
Look at it from this perception.
Yeah, let's just do that because we can. but it's not like we were all... characters smushed into a ball, right?
Yeah, I get that. I mean, it's the ego wanting to say, oh, well, you know, Are you talking to me or not? No, not really.
No, not really, because even the idea of a Connie or a Jacqueline or all these folks is a confused thought, or at least a pretend thought within the one mind that is God.
Yeah, it's the ego afraid of non-existence.
I have told you that your mind is tricky because your mind is split.
Yeah, they're talking to me.
Connie.
What are you talking to?
But the tricks of the mind will not fool you if you remember what you are. The thoughts that tell you that you are in the world and subject to the world do not know who you are. So they are not your true thoughts. They are a mirage. If you approach them closely, you will see that they disappear. For they cannot stand in the light of the true desire of your heart, which is you. Your true thoughts are below the thoughts of the world, closer to your heart, because they stem from there. They stem from your truth, and so they are your truth. Listen to your truth and know within who you are. You know, and this is what we've talked about so many times. This just, this resonance in your heart, this recognition of the truth of your being.
Greater than yourself. Greater than your small self.
Yeah. Yeah, which doesn't even exist, your small self.
Okay.
Just a helpful reminder.
Man, oh man.
Right, and that this desire that we talk about is just the call to remember, right? It's the natural calling of the heart to go, don't you remember we were playing a game? Right? Ollie, Ollie, and free. Within the mind, all is one, for there is no separation of any kind. All mind is of one source, so all mind is one through its source, which cannot be apart from itself.
Put that up at the beginning of the chapter.
How interesting. Cheryl put up a... I know who that is because they used to be my favorite. And now it won't come in my mind. No time left for... Who is it, Cheryl? Tell me because I can't think... Can't think who the group is. Used to be my favorite album, but I can't remember. No. It's not the Youngbloods.
Got no time.
Yeah. Got no time. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. It will not come in my head. Isn't it funny? The Grassroots. Right?
What's she saying?
She says, no time left for... No, it's not Three Dog Night. No time left for, on my way to better things, I found myself some wings. She said that song came to mind. But at any rate...
Let's read that again.
Within the mind, all is one, for there is no separation of any kind. Of any kind. All mind is of one source, so all mind is one through its source, which cannot be apart from itself.
All mind is of one source, so all mind is one through its source. So we know our oneness through our source.
Yeah. we are that which we seek, which is where we start this, because it's not like I have to return to the flock. I mean, we use all of these as metaphors, those types of things, right? But there's only one. It's like, and I was doing it, y'all couldn't see it because you're on the radio. I was doing it with Connie a while ago. I've often described this in very, very simplistic terms as, you know, my hand, like the palm of my hand, the back of my hand is consciousness. And my fingers and each of the points of my fingers are separate points, and I'm pointing at each, at the thumb, and then at my index finger. I'm pointing at each of these fingertips as points of experience for consciousness, right? So, or representing the people in the world, right? But the truth is, it's all my hand. It's not this is not separate. It's consciousness like spreading out from itself, pretending to be separate, because like my pinky is very far away from my thumb in this scenario, right? But it's still the same. It's not apart from source. It's experience. My pinky is experiencing this piece of space, and my thumb is experiencing this piece of space. But it's all consciousness. So it's not like it's ever apart. It's the illusion of being apart. It's the illusion of my pinky being something different from my thumb, but it's not. It's all my hand.
Yeah, I guess I'm just having the experience that you had a few weeks ago.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, you're right, it's a guess who. We're still talking about songs here. All right. Guess who, she says. Guess who? Well, there's only one. So it must be that one. Well, good, Connie. That's good and it's bad. So, we're going to read that paragraph one more time. Within the mind, all is one, for there is no separation of any kind. All mind, which is what you are, all mind is of one source, so all mind is one through its source, which cannot be apart from itself. Love one another, for you are of one mind. In loving one another, you love your truth. In this love, you are one. Amen. Yeah, the best of the Guess Who. That was my favorite album for years. All right. Wow, we just finished Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Woohoo! So that was fun. So what we're going to do is start a new book of NTI, Galatians. Any comments about the last book or the fact that your foundation just shook to the core?
I can barely open my mouth.
That's what awesome.
Mouth?
What mouth? That's awesome. That's great. All right. The Holy Spirit's interpretation of Galatians. This is on NTI, page 327. NTI, Galatians. Chapter 1. Greetings, my fellow brothers. I come to you on this day to teach you the joy of who you are.
That's good.
And to teach you the glory and the truth that is forever and forever true. Amen. Amen. I am the way and the life. I come to you on this day to clear up your confusion.
Thank you, God.
For there have been many thoughts that have confused you until now. Do not fret over your confusion.
Okay.
It is nothing and can be easily laid aside when you see the simplicity of love as I offer it to you.
Tell me more.
I am here to please you because the words I have come to share will please you as you hear them and accept them. from my very own lips.
Very own lips.
For this is the truth that you have resisted until now, but you are no longer willing to resist. This is why the message that I hear will please you. It is your message.
That I bear.
What?
This is the message that I bear.
This is why the message that I bear will please you. It is your message, and you are asking to hear it and know it now.
Okay.
This story that I have to tell you is coming to you directly from me in my own words and from my own lips. You have no reason to doubt what I will share, although you will be tempted to. I tell you, when you are tempted to doubt the message that I share, look in your heart, for it is written there. As you see that my message is also your message, you will realize we are one, and you will doubt no more. And, you know, that, of course, that's what we were just talking about, right? That resonance in the heart, that recognition, the heart calling itself unto itself.
Right.
There is a belief within your mind that hates you and judges you and holds you back from me. I know well of this belief, for I experienced it once myself. But I have been made free by my own choice to relieve the belief that isn't true. And now I come to you as your brother and your guide to help you do the same. And I just wonder if this was, and I don't know, was Regina here yet? I don't think so. It seems like Regina said that one of these books she felt was like Jesus speaking. And I don't know if that's the voice here, but it sure sounds like it, doesn't
it?
It
does, absolutely.
Okay. So, NTI Galatians chapter 2 on page 328. This belief that is in your mind is the source of all confusion. It is nothing but a belief. But a bush of confusion filled with thorns has been bred of it. This bush, which has grown tall and deep, has been watered by your own mind. You continue to water it now. But this bush is no longer thirsty because it is beginning to die. So now you may cease the watering of the bush. In your ceasing, you shall be free. Yeah, and, you know, of course, the Course talks about a little willingness to see that the truth is true, right?
Right.
And it's this willingness that ceases the watering of the bush. You believe in separation. Look around you. Everything you see, everything you sense, seems to be separate from you. And, you know, Regina did an exercise with us, I guess, a couple weeks ago in Gentle Healing, where she was drawing on Rupert's Fire a bit. He was talking about trying to find the boundaries between things, and there is no boundary between things. It's all one, like, picture, right? So we imagine a boundary where I stop here, and, you know, there's a boundary between me and you, and me and the chair, and you and the chair, and then you and those pictures, right? But it's all imagined. All the boundaries are imagined. They're ways of maintaining this belief in separateness. And this is what we're looking at here. You believe in separation. Look around you. Everything you see, everything you sense, seems to be separate from you. The world is the bush, so that everything you see and sense is of the bush also. But the bush is what it is, because the thought that spawned it was a misunderstood and misjudged belief. The story of separation is a long and confusing one, but it can be broken down into simple components that you will know and understand. You will know and understand them because they are familiar to you, even as you read today. The world is a world of judgment, because it was spawned from judgment in a moment of confusion. The world is like its maker, being in every way like itself. It came from confusion, so it is confusion. It was made by judgment, so judgment is its king. So I just want to stop here and remember we talked, I don't know when it was, a couple weeks ago, a month ago, about, you know, the tiny man idea. What would it be like if everything were different than one? Which would be separateness if everything were different than it were, right? Which would be separate. So we did that and we went, cool, but we didn't just go cool. We went, oh, holy shit. What if I, you know, then we believed, that's the judgment believed. We have screwed up now, right?
Yeah.
And so this is the thought of confusion. You know, we saw it, we could have, and of course, Miracle says, the Son of God remembered not to laugh,
right?
So we could have done it and gone, oh, that was great, what do you want to do now? But we didn't. We went, oh my goodness, we have really messed this up. We have.
We believed it.
Yeah, we made it, and then we believed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the world is a world of judgment. Oh, I read that. Let me try again. It came from confusion, so it is confusion. It was made by judgment, so judgment is its king. It looks like somebody needs to be red dotted, but he's talking about seductive naked women. Anywho, okay, each one within the world feels justified in judging another. Each one within the world feels justified in judging another. Remember, there's a world created. I do want to back up and read that paragraph. The world is like its maker, being in every way like itself. It came from confusion, so it is confusion. It was made by judgment, so judgment is its king. Each one within the world feels justified in judging another. In some time, some place, or in some very special circumstance, each one feels fully justified in judging. This is how each one makes a mistake. I tell you that judgment is of the bush, and judgment waters the bush. Judgment keeps the belief in separation alive. Now I ask you to look at your mistakes and own up to them, not in guilt, but in relief. For the release you seek shall be yours through the surrender of your judgment. Through acceptance, not judgment, the light of heaven is yours. This is just, again, undoing of what it was that we thought we did, you know. We created something, we believed it, and then we believed it, and then we believed it, and then we believed it, and you know, and we're believing our thoughts to this day. And so our job is the denial of truth. The denial of truth is that there could be something other than the one thing, the one isness that we are.
Field.
Of the field, yeah, exactly. And through that recognition, the light of heaven is ours. All right. NTI Galatians chapter 3. We are just flying through this book tonight. That's the goal, right? Get as much read as possible. Okay, I'll let go of the mic. Cheryl has a question. Thank you, Cheryl. And I'm not sure that Cheryl actually gets recorded since she's the recorder. So she wanted to know about this last paragraph. Now I ask you to look at your mistakes and own up to them, not in guilt, but in relief. For the release you seek shall be yours through the surrender of your judgment. Through acceptance, not judgment, the light of heaven is yours. You know, this is no different. She wanted to know what practice that we have done that has allowed the truth of that to be appreciated, allowed us to have the realization of that thought. And frankly, it's like it's letting go of my belief in my thoughts. It's letting go the belief that. That Connie's sitting over there, you know, thinking she's better than me, believing my thoughts about, I'm not good enough, or it's just letting go of those thoughts that tell me I am not what I am. It's loving what is. It's simple acceptance. It's when I'm angry, resting, accepting, and trusting, you know.
Yeah, you know, and the Course kind of explains it in that it says that it talks about the power of thought. And the power of thought has seemingly created this whole miscreation, right? So it's recognizing that there is great power in that, and therefore not succumbing to the judgments, because there is power. I mean, it's a negative power, albeit, but it keeps you locked into this littleness,
and you can feel it. And you know what a great practice for that is the one where you pay attention to whether you're feeling expansive or whether you're feeling a contraction,
right?
And if you're judging, you're going to feel a contraction.
Exactly.
And if you're not judging, you're going to be feeling expansiveness.
Right. But yeah, it's saying, you know, that in the human existence we seem to experience a monkey mind. The insane person in the corner of the room, whatever their thoughts are, that's their world. So you can be like that insane person, or you can have the expansiveness of that one mind by not participating in that littleness, which is the judgments and like thought.
Yeah, it's the core where the Course talks about letting go of grievances, you know. It's a saying, the grievance, it's, and I often mention this, I don't know who really said it, you see it on Facebook all the time, it's like resentment is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies, right? Holding on to resentment is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies, because that's my suffering that I've created, you know, I'm going to mull on this guy, I'm going to get him, and I, you know, and it's just, ugh, it's just, you can feel something that simple, and you can go, wait a minute. You know, I know that I don't want to feel this way. I'm willing to give this up.
Because it's not the truth anyway, so why participate in that muck and mire? It's what we've been doing lately in with Regina, that's choosing the highest
vibration.
The highest vibration of any scenario.
Yeah. Yeah, the highest vibrational thought of any scenario. So Cheryl says, so when a limited thought comes up, you acknowledge it, forgive that thought, and release it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, to the extent you can. I mean, but some of them just come up and seem to grab you by the throat, right? I mean, these are the deeply held beliefs, right? So first of all, you might have to do some really deep looking at what the thought is through, like, root cause inquiry, for example, right? And go, okay, what is it that I'm believing? Why am I so upset just because she looked at me that way? What is it that I'm believing about myself, you know? And so you might, so ultimately, yeah, I mean, and I think it gets easier and easier to do that when a thought that you can feel a contraction with comes up, when a thought that you know is a confused thought comes up, it just gets easier and easier to turn it over. Like A Course in Miracles would, you know, talk about it. Turn that thought over to me, right?
Yeah, and that's what we talked about. Every thought is a barometer to show you that that you're feeling the expanse, which is the expanse of God, or you're feeling the contraction, which is the contraction of the ego, which is what we've been talking about all night, is the untruth, is the illusion, is not who we are.
Yeah, and the exercise that we were just talking about that I used to give students in A Course in Miracles here is a really good one. If you feel a contraction, for example, somebody says, can I borrow your car? And you go, ooh! And you feel that immediate contraction, right? The recommendation is that you do what feels expansive instead. Anytime, and that's an extreme example. People don't generally walk up to you on the street and ask to borrow your car, but your sister might, and you might feel a contraction, and then consciously choose to do what makes you feel expansive instead. It's really just a practice, you know. Your spouse may ask you to take out the garbage. Ugh. Because, you know, he ought to take it out. Da, da, da. You know, why should I take the garbage out? So you feel the contraction, you acknowledge the contraction, and then you just choose to have a different thought about it, really. It's letting go of the habit thoughts. It's rewiring the mind.
And really, that's the miracle thought. It's acknowledging that there's another way to look at this, that there is joy in seeing this from a different perspective.
Yeah.
As opposed to the contraction that you just had.
Yeah, so let me find the expansive way of viewing this. Let me find the joy in this.
So sometimes to get that expansive way, we have to go through
rest, accept, and trust?
Well, sometimes it's as easy as going through rest, accept, and trust, and sometimes we have to do a whole inquiry or a Byron Katie whole worksheet, and, you know, and sometimes we can just say, you know, this is not what I want. This is not the truth of me. There is another way of looking at this, and sit with that for a moment. Let the miracle come in and change your mind, and then have that expansive, glorious feeling that is promised us.
Yeah. By simply choosing again.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Cheryl, for participating in the way that you chose to participate tonight. That was fun. We see that we are out of time, and we will be back next week where we left off
for our last
week before I go to Colorado.
Yep.
Let's see. So I just want to say real quickly before I give up the mic here what we did, Cheryl, and that was we did 2 Corinthians chapter 12 through Galatians chapter 2. We'll be beginning chapter 3 when we come back next week. Guys, we love you. We are thrilled to have the opportunity to be with you guys like this every week. And we love you.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.